This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us attain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with a guest this week, Scott Leary. Scott is a federal prosecutor from the Northern District of Mississippi. He's married to a lovely woman named Mary, and together they have 7 children, and he's a member of the St. John the Evangelist Parish in Oxford, Mississippi, where he is also a youth minister, where he and his wife Mary are spearheading the outreach to 9th through 12th graders there. And I got a chance to meet Scott a few years ago and was deeply inspired by his story, just their whole family and the way they're living out their faith. They're touching the lives of many, many people, both in their home, but also in their work and in their lives. And so they're kind of contagious Catholics, which is really fun. So, Scott, welcome back.
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah,
I am kind of contagious. I'm not sure it's all positive, but I would say contagious.
Well, we're all a work in progress, my friend. So going back to yesterday, we ended the program yesterday. You were talking to us about having been deeply influenced by, you know, Southern evangelical Protestantism, and you were kind of being drawn away from the Catholic faith. You were a Catholic, but you didn't really know your faith for a while, and you couldn't defend it. And then you made a decision at one point to actually leave the Catholic Church, and then something happened. So if you could just repeat the part where you left off yesterday
sure.
with your partner at the firm.
Yeah, this story that I'm explaining was part of a multi-year experience. This was not completely compulsive behavior patterns.
Sure.
Over a period of time, I had grown away from the church. And I'll just say right now, I love my evangelical Protestant brothers and sisters. I do. Mm-hmm. Much of what they've been taught about the Catholic Church is wrong. And a lot of the people they've met just hadn't reflected the church in a way that we should.
Yeah. But it's been kind of easy for them to challenge Catholics they bump into at work in other places because lots of the Catholics don't even know their own faith.
That's right. This culminated with me on a Wednesday after I met with the Vicar General, where my wife and I said, okay, it's over, we're leaving the church. And the next day I met with John Drisdale, mild-mannered tax lawyer from Dallas, Texas, who had moved to Jackson, Mississippi and was working at a law firm that I worked at. And we went out to lunch the day after my exodus on Wednesday, and Thursday, he gives me an explanation of his personal conversion experience. It's Medjugorje intensive. His story is. After the end of his story, I said, John, buddy, you haven't convinced me of anything. But I will tell you this, that the timing of this is troubling to me because, and I hadn't told him this initially, I said, look, brother, I just decided to leave the church yesterday, and today I'm having this conversation with you, and the timing of this is troubling to me.
And not only that, he's telling you he came to the Catholic Church after having been Protestant through the help of Mary, the Blessed Mother, and you're thinking, oh, man, this guy still doesn't get it. He's in trouble.
He's confused.
He's confused, yeah.
Yeah, and at that point, and Mary to me was vestiges of medieval paganism. That's what I thought. I thought, you know, the Catholic Church got corrupted and they had to have a female goddess, so they started worshiping Mary. Very adolescent view. And it's pretty amazing that I would actually think that, you know, very thoughtful men for 2,000 years were so deluded. But nevertheless, John told me a story. And when I told him my plans to Exodus, he laughed at me. And it was a nice laugh. And he said, Scott, dude, I just moved to Jackson, Mississippi. And let me tell you, nobody moves to Jackson, Mississippi unless they're transferred or their wife makes them. If you're from Texas, you ain't moving to Jackson. And I moved to Texas. I moved from Dallas, Texas to Jackson because I thought the Lord wanted me to move. And my wife, bless her heart, thinks I'm crazy. I have just moved the family to Jackson. And I've got to say, praise the Lord. He is so faithful. And I'm like, why is that, John? I'm confused. Why? And he said, because the first week here, God has shown me at least one of the reasons he wants me to move to Jackson, Mississippi. And I'm like, why is that, John? And he said, because Jesus Christ wants me to tell you right now that you cannot leave his church.
Wow.
And there was sort of a pregnant pause there. I said, okay. drank my tea, went back to my work, went to my office, closed the door, and it was true.
What do you mean it was true?
People have these experiences in their life. It's different for everybody. I don't know if you ever have a God. You know, God experiences are so different and unique. But those that, when you experience them, they are profound. And this was a profound moment for me because in my heart, I knew that he had told the truth. And I knew that the Virgin Mary had prayed for me. Now, Scott, how did you know that? I knew it because God spoke to my heart. Not audibly, I knew it. And I cried like a baby, and I'm not a cry guy a lot. I wasn't ripe for the picking. I was very anti-Catholic. And this is the method that God used to reach me. He uses different methods for different folks. This is the method he used. And God waylaid me. I was an arrogant little guy, and I knew it was true, Peter. And I got on my knees, I prayed, I cried, I called my wife, I said, I'm sorry. She's like, for what? And I said, I was wrong. We got to be Catholic. And she's like, what kind of schizo man am I married to? And then I told her the story about what just happened to me. I wish she was here. She could tell the story. But what she'll say is, you know, in that silence after Scott told me that story, I knew it was true. And then she goes, I felt heat hit me in the head and move through my entire body. And I knew it was true. And so we had a moment there. It's God's grace. This doesn't always happen, but we were both the same in spirit on this.
Yeah, and there was a confirming sign that a guy brought you a message and the Holy Spirit confirmed it for you in your heart to give you a sign that Mary's been after you. She's prayed you back into the Father's kingdom, into the church in that way. So,
And that's by God's grace. Yeah. I mean, and that's all I can say. I went to Mass the next day. I should have gone to confession. I was just so happy to be there. I hadn't really gotten squared away yet. You know, I went to communion. I was ecstatic, you know, and I got around to confession. But what was interesting about this is that before I left, a priest had given me a whole set of tapes by Scott Hahn. And Scott Hahn, for folks out there that don't know who he is, a great theologian that spoke the Catholic faith the way I needed to hear it. This is what the church believes. This is what the scriptures say. This is the early church father confirming the interpretation of scripture that I'm telling you right now. And then to say, oh yeah, by the way, the early church fathers were Catholic. Mm-hmm. They believe what we believe today, 2,000 years ago. And so if the Catholic Church is confused, it's been confused since the apostolic era, since the apostles. And I sat down and started listening to those tapes. And it was, for me, just a wonderful time because I was so intoxicated by learning what this faith taught. I had read the Bible numerous times at this point, and I had highlighted and underlined scripture, and I went back to John chapter 6. And John chapter 6 is that neat little passage of verses, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. He who feeds on me has life. And I did not have that underlined. Now, it's sort of amazing, isn't it?
It really is.
I read
amazing.
Right over that. Yeah. You know, I mean, so it tells you the way my mind was working. I read right over that. And I was like, Scott, dude, what was going on here?
How'd you miss that?
How do you miss that? Because it is so, you've got to dumb that down because it's talking about the Eucharist, obviously. So if you're not, you've got to torque that into a symbolic meaning because it is so absolutely painfully blunt. That is a troubling section of Scripture if you don't believe in the Eucharist. At that point, Peter, my wife and I set off on a journey. I think at this point we had had our second child, and we started learning about the faith, and then, Peter, I don't know if we have enough time to talk about this now. We've got a few minutes. We came across Humanae Vitae, and for you Catholics out there, that's the church's, it's not the first time the church pronounced the position on artificial birth control, but it's the one that gets the notoriety. It's an encyclical written by the Pope in the late 60s. It says artificial birth control is not okay. That's hard for Catholics to listen to because we ignore that teaching by and large. You know, I'm coming back to the faith. My position is, you know, if Christ died for this, this church is important. And then I ran across this teaching, and I told my wife, who's pregnant with our third kid, you know, she's going to get her tubes tied, or I'm getting snipped at this point, like every good American does after three kids, or after two.
Yeah.
I'm like, baby, have you ever heard about this Humanae Vitae thing? And she's like, yeah, and I don't want to know about it.
Yeah.
Because it's hard.
Sure.
And we were broken. We had a ton of debt, just like everybody else out there. She's working. I'm working. We're trying to keep this ship afloat. And then somebody comes up and says, oh, yeah, by the way, artificial birth control's out. So I said, look, let's just go to a meeting. Just one. And a wonderful lady named Jerry Gray Lewis talked about artificial birth control and the Catholic Church's view and natural family planning. I will tell you that, you know, it's funny now, and people are probably going to start turning off their radios right now. Of all the teachings of the church that I'm most thankful for and have revolutionized my life, you're not going to believe this, but dadgum, natural family planning is one of the biggest blessings I have had as a Catholic man. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty radical.
That's, well, I guess.
No, it is. I mean, it's the truth, and it certainly has been our experience,
yeah,
too. And you put your finger on it, you say, well, that's hard. You're like, why are we going to do that? It's just too hard. It seems too hard. But when your heart, here's the key that I've always thought in relationship to this issue with my wife and I, was the teaching is right on, it's profound, it's deep, it's clear. But until your heart falls in love with Christ, until you really know you're his disciple, once that happens, you'll do whatever he asks you to do because you want to please him. And then that leads you into living the truth, and then it changes you. It just fills your life. You start stepping into a different world of, I just thought this was going to be flat out hard and it was going to lead to more hardship. This has actually brought life to me,
yeah,
to us, to our family, to our, you know, to the rest,
yeah,
of it. I'd like to, we just have a few seconds left, Scott. I'd like to pick this up tomorrow again,
sure,
if we could, and kind of build on that a little bit, because I think it's a really important issue in our time. And but again, thanks for just telling your story right from the heart. It's very, very inspiring, friends. And I hope you were moved by it as I was moved by it today, because that living Lord who Scott and Mary experienced, Jesus Christ is alive. And he's communicating that power and that life through his Holy Spirit and through his Holy Catholic Church for our transformation, for our life, ultimately for our happiness with him. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.